Yep.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And this morning, we are in the book of Ezekiel on this seventh day of November. Whew, is time flying by or what? Time is flying by. There is only one God, and he loves us, but he will discipline us. One God, and that's all I can say. And the word that he gave me this morning is, then they shall know that I am the Lord. There is only one God, and he is I am. There's only, I said again, one God, and he is I am. And we have to know that he is in charge of everything. And he loves us more than we can imagine. We have to pray. We have to fast. We have to know that God is in charge of everything, that he is in charge of your going in and your coming out. He is in charge of your up. He is in charge of your down. He is in charge of your life, and he loves you. He loves you. Israel was losing their mind. They were going through at the time. God was not playing with them. He had them getting ready to go into captivity. He had them in captivity. He had them going through. And Ezekiel had to do some talking. He had to do some prophesying. He wasn't prophesying. He was prophesying. Some wanted to listen. Some didn't. Those that did not hear lost out. You know, you think about it in yesterday's lesson. Ezekiel wrapped himself up. Come on now. Laid on one side for 390 days. Built a clay seed of Jerusalem. Ate bread heated over dung. Come on now. Because that's what God told him to do. He did not play. And he said, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears. That's what he said on yesterday. And Dr. Stanley told us, listening to God is essential to walking with God. Listening requires not only straining to hear his voice, but taking his words so seriously that they set up shop in the deepest place of our heart. God lets us choose whether we will open our ears to listen or whether we will refuse to hear. Jesus often said, hear who has ears to hear, let him hear. In Mark 4:9, we got ears to hear, and we need to hear. God did not play, and he doesn't play today. We've got to take everything as it is from God. God loves you, but he will discipline you. He will tear your bottom up. and the word that God gave in our prayer this morning, which we're going to start with. I am yours. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, Jesus said in Luke 5:32. And as we pray, Holy One, you are worthy of everything I could ever offer. You already have my life. It is submitted to you. You have access to every heart. King of my heart, you hold my future. My path is marked by your love, and your spirit empowers me in the present. My mind is yielded to you. Write the words of life in my thoughts. I don't forget where I started or where I came from. You came into my tumultuous life and brought peace to the chaos. I am overcome with emotion thinking about your mercy over my life. You have been so faithful to me. I know that you won't stop now. Your goodness is deposited all over my story. Thank you that it's still being written. I trust that when I look back at the end of my life, the mark of your mercy will be clear, even clearer than it's been. You are the most talented of story weavers. I can hardly wait to see where this all ends up. I know your faithfulness will be laced through the whole thing. Father God, I know that you are I am. You are the great I am. You are my Father. You are my friend. Father God, I lift this word up to you, Lord, as I ask every day. Please increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And it's in Jesus' name I lift up this holy word and say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all I can say is God is so good. He loves us so much. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High. We are blessed beyond measure to be loved. We are blessed beyond measure to have hope. We are blessed beyond measure to know that there is only one God. And we call him Jesus. We call him Savior. We call him Holy One. We call him is our Master. He is our Savior. He is our friend. He is our end. As I was looking over this lesson, all I could think of, I still couldn't get over them 390 days, y'all. I couldn't get over them 390 days of laying on your side, because I can't lay on one side for 8 hours. Nonetheless, 390 days. And to know that Ezekiel did this as a prophet. Today, we don't have prophets like that. We have proper liars more than we have prophets and prophetess. We got to pray. And as we go into our word this morning, Ezekiel chapter 5, and you, son of man, take a sharp sword, take it as a barber's razor, and pass it over your head and your beard. Then take the weight and divide the hair. You shall burn with fire one-third of the midst of the city when the days of the siege are finished. Then you shall take one-third and strike around it with the sword, and one-third you shall scatter in the wind. I will draw out a sword after them. You shall also take a small number of them and bind them in the edge of your garment. Then take some of them again and throw them into the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire. From there, a fire will go out into the house, all the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her in the midst of the nations and the countries all around her. She has rebelled against my judgment by doing wickedness more than the nations and against my statutes more than the countries that are all around her. Come on now. You think he was talking today? And I know I'm probably making some people angry, but I have to say what God puts in my heart. And he says this. For they have refused my judgment, and they have not walked in my statutes. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have multiplied disobedience more than the nations that are all around you, have not walked in my statutes, not kept my judgment, not even done according to the judgments of the nations that are all around you. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, indeed, I am against you and will execute judgment in your midst, in the sight of the nations, and I will do among you what I have never done, and the like of which I will never do again, because of all your abominations. Therefore, fathers shall eat their sons in your midst, and sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgment among you. And all of you who remain, I will scatter to all the winds. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable things and with all your abominations, therefore I will also diminish you. My eye will not spare, nor will I have any pity. 1/3 of you shall die of the pestilence and be consumed with famine in your midst, and 1/3 shall fall by the sword all around you. And I will scatter another 1/3 to all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. Thus shall my anger be spent, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be avenged, and they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken. It is in my zeal, and I have spent my fury upon them. Moreover, I will make you a waste and a reproach among the nations that are all around you in the sight of all who pass by. So it shall be a reproach, a taunt, a lesson, and an astonishment to the nations that are all around you. When I execute judgment among you in anger and in fury and in furious rebuke, I, the Lord, have spoken terrible arrows of famine, which shall be for destruction, which I will send to destroy you. I will increase the famine upon you and cut off your supply of bread. So I will send against you famine and wild beasts, and they will devour, and they will bereave you. Pestilence and blood shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. I, the Lord, have spoken. And as we go into the life lesson for chapter 5, it says, it shall be a reproach, a taunt, a lesson, and an astonishment to the nations that are all around you. All along, God intended for Israel to serve as an advertisement to the world's nations regarding the goodness and holiness of God. If she refused to play the role in blessing, she would play it in judgment. And what are we seeing today in the Middle East? We're seeing a whole lot of judgment. We're seeing a whole lot of fighting. And we're seeing a whole lot of death. And this is all going on because of a family feud. This is going on because it's family against family. We understand that some of the family we call Palestine, and some we call Zionists, some we call Israelis, some we call Hebrews, some we just call Gentile friends, but we're all part of the same family. We're all sons and daughters of the Most High God, and He will be the judge of us all. He will be the judge of us all. He will be the one to speak the word. He will be the one to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Or He will be the one to say, I don't know you. We want to be known by God. We want to be spoken to in love by God. We want to know that He is I Am, and we are His sons and daughters, and we are His friends. That He calls us friends like He called David friends. We want to be a part family of God. We want Him to know our name. We want Him to know who we are in His family, that we are one of His children, and that we are loved by Him, and He is loved by us. As the song says, I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan long as I live. And trouble rise, I'll hasten to His throne. We got to hasten to the throne of God. We've got to hasten to the throne of God. Last night, some of my children from children's ministry are gearing up to sing in a mass choir. And at first they were a little afraid. And then I sat and watched this young choir director guide my children and all the children that were there to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I mean to not only sing Great is Thy Faithfulness, but to sing it in parts. Where I had two of my littlest guys singing tenor. And when I say these two little boys sung tenor like grown-ups, you know, and how it was taught was just, and how did they do it? They just said, say, hey, Johnny! And I watched these kids from there go into, great is Thy faithfulness! And I'm like, whoa, Lord. Where'd that come from? And I thought, wow, I was impressed. From the littlest of five to the oldest of 17, these children sang. And it was beautiful. I got a little filled up watching them go from barely able to get out the words to singing like they've been singing together for years. I was impressed. So all I could say is, wow, God, look at you. These babies are singing. And they're singing real well. And all I could say was, thank you, God. And so as we get back into our words, we've got to know God is in charge. He is the great I Am, and great is His faithfulness. We shall know that I am the Lord. And then it says this. As we end it, chapter 5, but I'm going to read verse 17 one more time. So I will sin against you famine and wild beasts, and they will bereave you pestilence, and blood shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Chapter 6, now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the ravines, and to the valleys. Indeed, I, even I, will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places. Then your altars shall be desolate. Your incense altars shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols, and I will lay the corpses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones all around your altars in all your dwelling places. The city shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, so that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate. Your idols may be broken and made to cease. Your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. The flame shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Yet I will leave a remnant, so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations. When you are scattered through the country, then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are carried captive, because I was crushed by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me, and by their eyes which play the harlot after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evils which they committed in all their abominations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would bring this calamity upon them. Thus says the Lord God, pound your fist and stomp your feet and say, alas for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, but they shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. He who is far off shall die by the pestilence. He who is near shall fall by the sword. And he who remains and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus will I send my fury upon them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When their slain are among their idols, all around their altars, on every high hill, on all the mountaintops, under every green tree, and under every thick oak, wherever they offered sweet incense to all their idols, so I will stretch out my hand against them and make the land desolate. Yes, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblah, in all their dwelling places, then they shall know that I am the Lord. Whew! They shall know I am the Lord. Our title for this morning is Deacon 14. They shall know I am the Lord. And we do. And we shall. And as we go to the life lessons this morning, it says, I was crushed by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me. The Lord has a staggering emotional investment in his relationship with us. He created us to connect with him on a true heart-to-heart level. And when we give our hearts to something else, it deeply grieves him. It grieves God when we give our heart to something other than him. It hurts him. We want to give our heart to the Lord. We want to love God with every part of us. And we can't do that if we are double-minded. And it says this in Ezekiel 6 and 14, they shall know that I am the Lord. This phrase reoccurs throughout the book of Ezekiel. Over and over again, God says that he will execute mighty judgments and adjustments and secure redemption to the whole world, so that the whole world will know that he alone is God. And I'm believing, this is me, that God is about to show up and show out. He's about to show some folks who he is. There are folks that talk it. There are folks that walk it. There are folks that say, whatever. But one thing I tell you this, Israel, Palestine, the whole Middle East is going to find out that there is a God that comes from heaven, and he is not playing. He's going to show up and show out. I believe that in my heart, that if it's supposed to be a ceasefire, it will be a ceasefire, because God is hearing those babies' cries. I believe God is hearing the cries of the infants that were put to death because they were in incubators and electricity was cut off and they died. I watched little bodies being put in the morgue, babies wrapped in swaddling, deceased, put in the morgue. Just because you have the power to do it, to kill, steal, and destroy, doesn't mean that there can be peace. And I believe in God for it, that not one more child, not one more widow, not one more widower, not one more of God's seed and God's baby will die. He's got to pray for peace. I pray for Israel, but I also pray for the people of Gaza. I pray for all that are in the conflict. I pray for God and show the unbeliever that he is and he's always been. Assist me, believing in faith that God is about to do some stuff. When that big rain comes, don't say anything. I'm just believing God's about to send a storm to cease fire. He's about to do something. I feel that the Lord is up to something. And it's something good, because he hears the cries of the children. Ta, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word. All your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you. And let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Proverbs 28:4, happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Are we reverent with God today? Are we trusting God today? Are we lifting up the name of Jesus today? Are we believing and knowing that he is I am, and that he is the Lord? Do you know? Have you thought about it? When he said, I am, the Lord. And as we go into Hebrews chapter 3, it says this, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. Woo! For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Can I say that again? Every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. They shall know that I am the Lord. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today touches my heart every time I read it. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation. Instead, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Harden the heart. Joshua came back and said, the land is good. We can do this with God. But the team who perished said, there's giants over there. They talked against, almost got Caleb and Joshua stoned because of their unbelief and them not having faith. And then when God reprimanded, then they decided on their own, oh, we can do this. And they went and got tore up from the floor up because God wasn't in it. And they had to walk in the wilderness 40 years. 40 years. 40 years for every, a year for every day that they complained. 40 years of complaining. And one, that we are just going to go back to Egypt. God, you think if you walked into Egypt after everything that happened, after all the soldiers swallowed up in the Red Sea, after all the firstborn being killed, after crops being destroyed, after water not being able to be drank, do you think the Egyptians would have welcomed you back? They would have killed every last one of them walking across that desert into Egypt. They would all been dead. Coming back, how were they going to get back through the Red Sea? Because God wasn't going to open it for them. They had been dead, all of them. But instead, they had to wander for 40 years and not make it in to the land they could just see in the horizon. Come on now. Even Moses lost his place and his blessing because he got sick and tired of being sick and tired of hard-hearted, rebellious folks. Don't want to do anything God say do. Don't do you. Okay? God says, speak to that rock. He got so upset with all the complaining and whining of these people that he hit the rock, his blessing. Lost his place to walk into the promised land. And as we go back into the word, it says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But it exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. But we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. But who, having heard me there, indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who did not obey, did not enter in because of unbelief. Do you believe today? Do you trust today that they shall know that I am the Lord? Do you believe that? I do. I know who God is. And I know he protects me in my sleep. I know that he is God. Hebrews 3 and 6, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm on the end. Those who truly accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord will persevere in their faith until the end of one of the hallmarks of a genuine relationship with God is the commitment to strike with him, to stick with him through everything. And I want to read that again. Hebrews 3 and 6, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Are you hoping to the end? And Dr. Stanley tells us, those who truly accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord will persevere in their faith until the end. One of the hallmarks of a genuine relationship with God is the commitment to, are you sticking with God? Are you walking in faith? I got my ring on this morning. Faith over fear. A reminder that faith comes from God and knowing that he will combat my fear. Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily, why it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. None of us can progress in our faith or stay true to our Lord without the help and encouragement of fellow believers. In fact, we need this kind of healthy interaction every day, not merely one day out of seven. We got to have it every day. We got to lift each other up instead of tearing each other down. We got to know that we are family and we treat each other as such. Love your brother, love your sister as you love God. Watch him work in your life. Hebrews 3:19, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. There is a direct and clear connection between unbelief and disobedience. When we disobey, it's always because we do not believe either God's promises, a blessing, or his warning against rebellion. Are you trusting God this morning? And then it says what the Bible says about your identity in Christ. Your identity in Christ. Hebrews chapter 3 tells us, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of our heavenly calling, consider the apostle, the high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. This single verse overflows with assurance for the believer. That's Hebrews 3 and 1. First, note that it addressed to the holy brethren. it was addressed to us. This reference, this refers to anyone who has trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The word holy signifies that believers have been set apart for God because of who you are in Christ. God sees you as unique. Neither your profession, your salary, your appearance, or your nationality defines you. Only your status as a child of God gives you the special identity you enjoy. As one of the partakers of our heavenly calling, your destination is heaven. Your heart resides with Christ, where your home is. Knowing where your home is means you aren't searching for this temporal dwelling. Earth to satisfy you regardless of what happens around you. You can rejoice because this life does not hold you. God does. By knowing who you are in Christ, you can deny all the false messages of the world. I got to read that again. By knowing who you are in Christ, you can deny all the false messages of the world. Many strident voices will try to convince you that you are not pretty enough, not smart enough, not successful enough, not neat enough, not this enough, but your identity in Christ alone completes you. You can add nothing to it, and this world's distraction can take nothing from it. The final phrase of Hebrews 3:1 reminds us that Jesus is our apostle and high priest. The first title signifies that Jesus represents God to us. When we want to know what God is like or how God would act in a given situation, we look to Jesus. The second title signifies that Jesus represents us to God. God looks at his children through the eyes of his blameless and holy Son. The commandment in this verse tells believers to consider Christ Jesus. The word consider means to observe or think. We are to observe Christ, meditate on his word, and imitate what we see. Let the assurance of your identity, home, and Lord inspire you to explore new depths of God and serve him with all your heart. You won't be disappointed. Hallelujah. You won't be disappointed. And our words from this morning from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, today is this. No matter what bad circumstances may rise up against you, none of them has the power to take you out of your place in God. And we like to say, it don't have the power to knock you out of your square. You are in the light of God. As long as you stay in your square, as long as you stay in the ark of safety, you are covered from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet by the Most High God. Even when the enemy tries to attack you in your sleep, you are covered by God. You got to bite him. You got to rebuke him. You got to bind him. You got to call on the name of Jesus. You got to say, not today, not today. I know who I am, and I am a child of God, and you cannot have my soul. Not today. And as Sister Carolyn says this morning, no matter what bad circumstances may rise up against you, none of them has the power to take you out of your place in God. Have a triumphant Tuesday. We got to pray. We got to lift up. We got to believe that there is only God, and he is the Lord. I am the Lord, says the Father, says the Son, says the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. We trust in Jesus. We trust in our faith in God. We lift up. We light up. We tell the devil, not today. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep standing on his word. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 6:14. Keep trusting God and knowing that you are covered. And that is our word for this morning. I know we are a little early, but I just thank God. He is in charge. Not me. It's like, well, I got to go to 8. No, I don't. I go as long as God tells me to go. When he says, it's finished, it's finished. So I say to you this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord, knowing that you are covered from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet by the blood of Jesus. Be blessed and stand on God. Stand on God and know that he is God and that there is no other like him. No matter what bad circumstances, I say it again, may rise up against you, none of them has the power to take you out of your place in God. And our question for today from our prayer this morning is this. How does it make you feel when you consider God is writing your story as you submit to him? That's it. It's a wrap, family. It's time to go to work. But today is my off day, and it's time to go to work around my house. So I thank you all for listening in. I thank you for just being who you are, awesome and mighty and wonderful. Those that are listening in later, those that are listening now, I thank you and ask God to watch over you, to bless you, to keep you covered by the blood of Jesus. And again, please pray for Israel. Pray for the people of Gaza. Pray for peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed and wonderful day. It's a wrap.